Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is...
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Carson Wentz here on The Rich Eisen Show.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It just says ankle. It no longer is plural.
Gonna throw it way downfield. Michael Pippen, he catches it!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Calais Campbell on The Rich Eisen Show.
All I can do is take advantage of the moment in front of you.
Hot game over!
Earlier on the show, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. Coming up, Steelers wide receiver Chase Claypool. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Ben Simmons is making his way back to Philadelphia. The Brooklyn Nets have said that Kyrie Irving is not playing for the team this year until he is eligible to play, meaning hashtag take the shot. Give him the shot.
Take the shot.
To use the Travolta phrase from Pulp Fiction. The Nets telling Kyrie, half of you is not going to work. Brian Windhorst joined us in hour number two of this show. I will give you the bullet points. Kyrie can either take the jab, retire, or just sit at home and collect $16 million, which is what he would be earning as a road player this year.
Right.
Because the home games, they can dock his pay, and the road games, they have to pay him. Unless, I guess, there's one game in San Francisco he wouldn't be allowed to play in. So, wow. And the games against the Knicks, he wouldn't be allowed to play in either. So, there's all of that. And then Ben Simmons, what's he going to do? Does he hold in like an NFL player? Show up and say, yeah, I got this thing. I got that thing. I can't play tonight. I'm in street clothes tonight. Is that his way of showing up, getting paid, but holding in on the Sixers, who would I imagine would tell him to stay home, right? No, don't need to travel with the team on that front.
I don't think that would happen.
Right? Just stay home. He would get savaged right now.
Oh.
Walking into an arena in Philadelphia.
And not playing would be one thing. If you're not playing and you're just sitting there.
Ooh. Or he takes the booze and his first introduction, high-fiving his teammates as he comes out on opening night.
And then drops
game
50.
Two. Oh, he's just got to drop one. Seriously. He's got to drop one. And then drop another one in the fourth quarter. Keep going.
Well, that's just 4 points, though, Rich.
That's it. Give me 4 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, and a win. That's it. That's all I want out of you. And then we'll work from there. And then get as much of the cents on a dollar as you can get and get them out. That's the only way to do this. How do you show up and say, Embiid, you're clogging the lane? You tell the Athletic he's clogging the lane. And now you show up and say, let's play. How do you do that?
The man is 7'1", 280. Of course he's going to clog the lane.
Of course he's going to clog. You know where there's no lane cloggers? The Nets?
True.
There's no lane cloggers there.
No, DeAndre is with the Lakers.
Yeah. And he wasn't starting last year anyway. Yeah.
If you missed any of that conversation, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Also on this program, Mike Florio talking about the John Gruden departure with nothing but scorn and derision in his direction. And, you know, who's got the shovel to just pour the shovel the dirt on right now is Keyshawn Johnson.
He's getting
his workout in right now, just gladly shoveling the dirt on the guy who, as you know, created the rule that needed to be put into place or helped create that rule, which is just deactivating somebody over and over and over again. How about that? Remember you Keyshawn something? Even to this day, I use the phrase of Keyshawning somebody, and the league and the Players Association had to get together, and the Players Association is like, you can't keep doing something like that. We got to come up with a rule to prevent it. And Keyshawn down in Tampa, that was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Of a finish. And he called, what's he called, Gruden? Let me get this right, because I'm sure he'd appreciate it if I got this correct. Let's get this right, because he's trending right now, Keyshawn. He's just always been a fraud to me. From day one, he's been a used car salesman, and people bought it. Keyshawn Johnson. So. And more stuff's going to come out. It's going to be ugly, and it's not going to be pretty. And I do not know how the Raiders cauterize this wound. Big game against the Denver Broncos this weekend. Once upon a time, 3-0 versus 3-0. Denver and the Raiders have lost two in a row since starting 3-0. Vic Fangio is just, you know, he's still the coach there. Raiders don't have their head coach. 4 years into 10, like 3-plus years into a 10-year deal. The envy coaching deal of all time. And at its start, based on what we read, he wasn't worthy of it. At its start. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Brady spoke today, right?
Tom Brady has spoke today.
Okay, what did he talk about? Christopher, what did he talk about today? Because, again, Thursday night is the kickoff to week six. Bucks at Philly.
Yeah, interesting game on Thursday.
It is, that's it.
Tom Brady has a little bit of a thumb issue on his throwing hand.
Yes, didn't seem to bother him during the game.
Yeah, he said it happened early in the game in week five. Obviously, he threw for five touchdowns, so it didn't.
Got a tape job on that thing.
It didn't really affect him. Yeah, he got a tape job today, showed up with that. He had a backwards hat on, and this is what he had to say about it.
You know, I was aware of it. I mean, look, a quarterback's right hand is important at the end of the day, so it's not like it's your left hand. If it was my left hand, I wouldn't think 2 seconds about it. But, you know, the fact that it's your throwing hand, I mean, there's not many things that are that important to a quarterback other than probably your right shoulder and your right elbow and your right hand. So anytime, you know, you get banged on one of those, it could be an issue. But like I said, I think there's no serious injury at all. So it's just more of, discomfort. But I think that should be gone here the next day or two.
All right. Short week. Get through it. Beat the Eagles. And move on. You know what the Bucs are doing?
Playing one game at a time?
No, what the Bucs are doing is, here's the difference between the Bucs this year and last year. Last year, they were just getting to know each other and getting their groove on, or trying to get in that groove, and they didn't find it until, as we know, they lost to Kansas City and fell to 7-5, and I jumped off of my prediction that they'd win the Super Bowl like a fool. And then they went on a Super Bowl. You know what they're doing? They are beating opponents that they should, and they're beating them up. That's what they're doing. Now, you could sit here and say, well, they didn't do that to the Patriots. I'm going to throw that one out. That was just weird for me watching that game. Yeah. I cannot imagine what it must have been like. Can you imagine what Brady must have been thinking about, knowing, I guess, that he and Belichick spoke beforehand that they were going to speak afterwards?
Right.
And that he sets a record and there's a video on the screen and his parents are there and his family's there. And is he worried about how these people are going to get treated? I obviously wasn't concerned about the way Patriots fans were going to treat Brady. But once the game is on, you know, people get kind of drunk and stupid. I mean, there had to be so much going on in Brady's mind. I'm just going to throw that one out.
Right.
The Cowboys have proven to be a pretty tough opponent So you can throw that one out, right? And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after winning that one, they boat raced the Falcons after it was a tight game halfway through. They lost to the Rams. We'll give that one up. The Patriots are one that we'll throw out. And they just boat raced the Dolphins. They're beginning to just do what championship teams do, which is survive the best shots of people trying to make their bones against them. And then when teams don't have the horses, we're going to go and boat race you. And then, you know, we'll get a loss here or there because you can't go 20-0. That's what the Bucs look like to me. I'd be concerned if I'm the rest of the NFC. Ready for my four downs for this week?
Let's get it.
Hit it, please. Four downs. Hut,
hut. Four downs with Rich.
Here we go. Why did you stop?
First down.
So you've heard about this being the longest season ever, right? You've heard about that extra regular season game, right? That extra regular season game, that 17th regular season game that got added to the schedule, was an AFC team hosting an opponent from another conference's division that they're not already scheduled to play. Every team in a conference plays its own division, plays another team in its conference, another division in its conference, and then another division outside of that conference. So outside of that, they added one team for another conference. The AFC North is taking on the NFC West, for instance. The AFC East is taking on the NFC East. So we've already seen the Washington football team and the Bills play. That's an extra regular season game. Right. Yeah, that didn't really amount to much. This week, my first down, we're going to see a little bit more traction of the rubber meeting that extra game road. Arizona at Cleveland's an extra game. Sunday night football on NBC, Seattle at Pittsburgh. That's an extra game. So we're beginning to reap the benefits of that extra game with some pretty tasty week six morsels. And then just to look over the steering wheel with this AFC North extra game stuff. Later on in week 14, the 49ers visit the Bengals.
Oh,
yeah, I know. That's kind of a higher register game.
Oh, this week, New England, Dallas.
And you know what's, it's week 17, which is the penultimate week, second to last week of this regular season. Rams at Ravens. How's that one going to taste? Ooh. How's that going to taste? You're going to even hear, like, could this be high register Super Bowl preview type conversation? So the extra game, we're beginning to start to see some interesting matchups, and starting with this week right here. That's first down. Let's get the second down. Second down, there are four, count them, four teams that used to be 1-3 that this week, in week six, have a chance to officially climb out of that hole and get to 3-3 and start the season fresh. Which teams will do it? Because a handful of them had serious hopes coming into the season. Mac Jones and the Patriots started 1-3, but they pulled out by the skin of their teeth against the Houston Texans. This week against the Dallas Cowboys. If they beat the Cowboys at home to get back to 3-3, how good will that feel? With a rookie quarterback, all right, we split our first six, let's go. Then you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. Once again, big game against the Seahawks. They started out this big game for two and three teams have the ability to get back to 500. Seattle didn't start 1-3. The Steelers did. If the Steelers can beat Geno Smith and get to 3-3, how big would that be for our next guest? And Chase Claypool is joining us in a matter of time. The Vikings are at Carolina, and then the Eagles against the Bucs. What if the Eagles just, you know what the Eagles should do? Eagles should just pull out some Philly special and just show stuff on the scoreboard when Tom's running out there just to try and mess with his head. That'll probably piss him off anyway. But those are some interesting games. 1-3 teams that have a chance this week to get back to 500. Keeping a mind's eye on which team can do that and what hay they can make if they're so fortunate to reset and hit the reset button after 6 weeks. Let's get the third down. And then on the week six marquee is a game that nobody saw coming to be an important contest for the battle for conference domination and a lead in conference. Ravens hosting the Chargers is a huge week six game. 4-1 LA versus 4-1 Baltimore. The winner of this game goes to 5-1 and still has a chance to battle the Bills for first place in the AFC as we move forward. And I proffer to say they'd rather host a playoff game against the other if that ever happens. If it's a 2 versus a 3 seed at some point in time. Could be that. 2 versus a 5. Who knows? This is something that's very important for so many reasons down the line. But if you want to be able to have a good conference record as that tiebreak as well, moving forward with the Bills trying to get that one lone bye week spot, the winner of this game's in a much better position than the loser. That's a fact. So much on the line in that week 6 game. Hit it, please.
Fourth down.
Oh, we're waiting. Okay, so you already said that we're going to find this tasty. As you drop your mic back. Last week was just kind of so-so. You know, week 18, Bengals will be in a playoff scenario. Yeah, okay.
Here we go. Thank you for that tap dance, especially since my equipment fell off my my belt buckle. Not your fault. That's an MP. That's a problem, not a YP. All right, here's my hot take plank. Here's my hot take. Remember a couple weeks ago, I said the Kansas City Chiefs were going to only lose one more game the rest of the year.
Yep, one more game. Yeah.
And it just happened this week.
Yeah.
So are they going to win out the rest of the year? As I told you earlier this week, as in yesterday, I'm genuinely concerned. I'm genuinely concerned when they can't hold on to the football. They've turned it over 11 times. Tying Jacksonville for the worst in that market.
They can't stop anybody.
In that department, right? And they can't stop. They're giving up 7.1 yards per play.
Won't stop.
Okay? Two snaps, and the other team's got a first down on average. So I'm still alive on that one.
Okay.
Still alive.
But I need a hedge.
You're hedging.
My fourth down? The Buffalo Bills will lose only one game. The rest of the season.
Welcome to the...
The Buffalo Bills... will lose only once the rest of this season. Oof. And take a look at their schedule.
I would say Bill's schedule. Yeah.
Take a look. Oh, no, we got you. Here it is.
Oh, let's look.
Monday night at Tennessee. Yeah, the diminisher can diminish.
Maybe.
Bye week. They're going to kill that.
Oh, yeah.
Home for Miami. Win. At Jacksonville. At the Jets. Home for Indy. Thanksgiving night. The end of the triple header at New Orleans.
Oh, tasty.
Home for New England, at Tampa, and then you finish home for Carolina, at New England, home for the Falcons and the Jets.
I got two in there.
You got two, huh?
Wait, who's the other one?
Tampa, and who?
And New Orleans, both games on the road for the NFC South.
Okay, I mean,
yeah, it worries me.
I don't know.
And you know I got the Bills going to the Super Bowl.
Dude, the way that they I'm hoping that Can't Guard Mike can add a little bit of a boost to the Saints offense.
But who's going
to
be?
And that's two months from now, I guess, anyway, a month and a half from now. But there you go.
16-1, hey now.
Bills will lose only once the rest of the season. What if the Bills lose only once the rest of the season and the Chiefs win out? Then the Chiefs win out from here on.
I mean,
suddenly they stop turning it over and the defense just like I said, cut it in half. Just give up 3.8 yards a snap. 4 yards a snap. All right. Five yards a snap.
I mean, five and a half, I can't ask for too much.
I can't bite off too much, right?
Yeah. All right, that's good.
The AFC
is good. AFC's loaded.
It's insane how good the AFC is.
NFC not as good as maybe we thought.
I would disagree. Why would you say the AFC is not as good?
I would say it's not as good as we thought coming into the year.
Let's just put it this way. The Bills are the class of the AFC, as we've seen through 5 weeks.
Chargers.
Okay? The Chargers and the Ravens are right there.
Right there.
Behind them.
Yep.
Dallas has already beaten the Chargers.
True.
Okay? Wookie. The Packers, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Rams.
Packers not as good.
So I'm you're within. AFC versus the field? Being the NFC?
No.
Are you taking the field?
I wouldn't do that.
AFC versus the NFC field.
I might take the AFC, yeah.
AFC field versus NFC field.
Yeah.
To win the Super Bowl.
I think so.
AFC field versus NFC field for the Super Bowl.
For the Super Bowl, though.
Then you're like, AFC's loaded, NFC's not.
Because Tom Brady plays for the NFC.
Exactly. You have three or four. Four good teams in the NFC, Rich.
Let's take a break here. Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers, fresh off of a terrific performance and their best offensive performance of the year against Denver, getting set to take on Seattle on Sunday Night Football. We'll have a good NBC chat with Chase Claypool when we come back. Battle. Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and the crowd's going wild. Crowd's going wild, everybody here on the program. So it's one of those fascinating moments when doing a show like we've done it 7 years. Like
a lot of shows.
I mean, somebody says they'll call in, they don't, and then they say, well, call another time, and then they don't. Not yet.
So far, we're 0-for.
All right. Well, there's two O's in Claypool, yeah. So...
It's just more time for us to tell stories.
Hopefully he will call in shortly. Yeah. If he does not, then we'll do it another day. Fix it in post. I like it. I've already given my hot take. Somebody's giving me grief saying, is this the same guy that said the Chiefs weren't going to lose the rest of the season? And I just respond, I'm like, excuse me, sir, to be exact, I said the Chiefs would lose only once more the rest of the season. Not lose the rest of the season. I said it clutching this plank. It's this hot take plank. Yeah. I don't know if that, and it's by the shape of my head. So in case anybody's wondering, when I clutch this plank, it's done with a sense of irony. Where I'm in a business where people do hot takes
every
for a
day.
Living.
Without irony.
And I allow myself one time.
Right.
Is this the man?
What's the hottest take that you have that you actually believe?
Based on your opinion, it's removing the fumbling through the end zone as a penalty for the person who fumbles through the end zone. You think that's a hot take?
I just don't. I think it should remain the rule.
But believe it to my core. Like, I believe it to my core. Like, I want my children telling their children that grandpa, you know, stood on this hill.
No, I mean something like I think, like, Meryl Streep is overrated.
Ooh.
Like, something like that.
Oh.
Do you really think that she's overrated?
You don't think that, do you?
Yeah. Name one Meryl Streep movie that's rewatchable.
Oh, my God. That's rewatchable?
Like, and then.
I mean, I'm not going to watch Sophie's Choice over and over
again. And you're watching
that
movie, like, because of, like, come on.
Why does that
make sense? She shouldn't get nominated for. It's like.
She's incredible.
But she's getting nominated. Mike, you agree with me.
I do agree with him.
She's getting nominated for Oscar. So what is it, like 17, 18, something like that?
It's insane.
But she's getting nominated simply because she's in the movie.
Yeah.
That's not true.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's simply because her performance is better than most.
No, but she's getting the leg up because, that's a name I recognize. Let's just nominate her.
Let's just nominate her. Like association.
Like, come on.
So let me ask you this question.
She didn't deserve 20 nominations.
Are you right now?
I'm with you.
Saying you understand the mind of an Academy of Arts and Sciences voting?
Well, Rich, as a fellow award winner for movie criticisms.
What does that mean?
Like a lot of these other people.
Who gave you an award for that?
Where'd this come from?
Maine Press Association.
Exactly.
Is that accredited?
So what movies were you? What movie?
Well, I had,
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Sleepless in Seattle. Five stars.
Were you reviewing?
This was '07.
Yeah, so let's check out the movies he would have.
'07.
I had a weekly movie film a film review.
Here we go.
Anybody who says that they won't watch a movie because it's in black and white should not be allowed to review movies.
No.
Correct.
No.
Like anybody who's like get out of here with that Maltese Falcon stuff. Get out of here with Casablanca.
No one cares. It's too old.
I'm gonna watch the original Manchurian Candidate, half of it, and then not watch the rest of it.
I mean, it's still on my DVR.
And then go write a column.
Show Xander Maltese Falcon.
Well,
he will turn it off. He won't even make it 5 minutes.
Because he's 13.
But you claim, the through line through it is, it works, and everyone should appreciate it.
I'm not saying it's
not
for children.
13?
No.
He's 13.
I mean,
this man just says he's an award-winning critic, and he couldn't even make a case for something.
That tattoo.
By the way,
I won my
award for the column I wrote about Ghost Rider.
Ooh.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
Did you say it was good?
Do you have the actual award winning?
I could probably find it. I did a lot of it. I spent going through Nick Cage's IMDb. I thanked Ava Mendez for being in the movie because that was probably the only watchable part of it.
And that won you an award. What morons were on the Blue Ribbon panel?
I won second place Critics' Choice Award.
Second place.
Award-winning film critic. That's me.
Was the competition in Maine really strong? Or
well, there's about six daily newspapers, so yeah, probably
so he's
me.
Going up
a
against
other, yeah, yeah. I mean, a few other people.
I mean, think about it. New York's only got three majors. He's got six.
And the problem was the winner was an influence peddler. It just happened to be like Susan Collins's like grand nephew won it.
Not a big state, Maine.
An influence peddler.
About a million people. Just saying. Hey, look.
I mean,
so that's my point. I to get back to my original point,
the Devil Wears Prada is incredibly rewatchable.
That's probably the only rewatchable movie that she's in.
No, but there's a lot of stuff that's really intense. Like you're not going to rewatch Kramer versus Kramer.
No, can't rewatch okay? The Deer Hunter.
One time
you're not
going to
rewatch Bridges of Madison County either. But it is an award-winning performance. It's deserving. Sophie's Choice, Out of Africa.
Silkwood?
You're a moron.
Silkwood.
You're a moron. Silkwood, you're not watching more than once.
No, but she was amazing in it.
August.
But if you can't watch it more than once, then how do you remember how good she
was? See, I'm a Glenn Close.
August Osage
like
County was an all-star cast of an incredible Tony Award-winning play that wasn't a great movie, but she was incredible in it.
Out of Africa?
Come on, man. I can't even believe I'm going down this here. She was in the remake of The Manchurian Candidate, which is not rewatchable.
No.
Come on. Ridiculous.
Well, like she doesn't go more than like 2 or 3 years without a nominee. That's just like legacy.
Nomination, yeah.
Like, is she going to make TJ's top five actresses list? I probably not. But is she?
Excuse me.
A great actress? Of course. She is.
Hold on a minute.
So again, I'm just saying hottest take that you actually kind of believe is what
I can't say.
Is what I'm getting at.
You know that
exactly. The fact that though TJ, you know, your last. Top five, your big ass grab bag, which is an excellent idea of what prequel you'd want to see. Like, what movie would you want to see have a prequel based on the fact that Sopranos just had a prequel? And out of all the films in the world that you could do a prequel on, you chose The Last Boy Scout.
I love The Last Boy Scout.
I mean,
and by the way, if you looked at Twitter.
Come on now, man.
First of all, you love Midnight Run, right?
Come on.
I don't like Midnight Run. Midnight Run is your favorite movie. You talk about it all the time. I tried to watch that recently. Midnight Run didn't
really?
Do anything for me. Like it's all subjective. Like The Last Boy Scout, people tweeted me about that and was like how much they liked that movie. I love that movie. I could watch The Last Boy Scout at any moment.
What's happening here is what I'm saying.
Well, I was trying to make a segment because we didn't.
No, I'm just saying that. I don't
you said that to me. I started
like, so what is my biggest hot take that I believe in? There's got to be something about a movie where,
like a movie or like maybe a dish, like a food item that everyone loves that you're just kind of like, not that great.
Pineapple on pizza.
You know what I mean?
That's the worst.
Do we go? You know,
just
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Coming
I
got to think about it.
My opinions are so the reason why I'm like Rafael Devers where I don't feel it cuz my opinions connect.
Right.
Is that I'm in tune with America. You know. So, I don't know. It's tough. I'm tough to just come up with a hot take. You know, what I say is I'm in tune with a majority of people.
Right.
I like to think.
You don't just say stuff to say stuff.
No.
No.
Right.
I would never do something like that.
No.
You know? So.
Step into the gutter with us, Rich.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
You poo-pooed the last Boy Scout, so I don't know if you have your finger on the pulse of
it.
America.
I've never seen it.
Wait, but you never saw it? So now you're giving me crap about what you're... I hold you in far higher regard than a lot of these people, Rich. Don't be that person on the internet. You didn't even see it.
Your biggest hot take, Rich, that you actually believe and you're so wrong about, which is unfortunate, is that you think that Die Hard isn't a Christmas movie.
Oh, well, but I think I'm in a majority on that.
Oh, I don't know.
I think we're 50-50 because I'm on your side, Rich.
I think you guys are in the minority.
We may actually be in a minority on that one, Rich, but we're right.
Okay.
We tapped
Dancing. Is he on?
We did. We tapped Dancing.
Oh, my
enough.
Gosh. Hey, this is wonderful. How are you, Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers? What's going on?
Am I live?
You're alive. You're on with Rich Eisen, sir. How are you? You're on the Rich Eisen show.
Good.
You're on the
treatment and ran over a little bit.
No, it's all good. You're on the Mercedes-Benz Vans hotline, as a matter of fact. I don't know if you feel that energy, but at any rate, thanks for calling in. Greatly appreciate it. Have you ever seen Die Hard? You ever seen that movie, Chase?
Is that Bruce Willis or whatever?
That's a Bruce Willis movie. How old are you again, by the way?
I'm 23.
Okay. All right. So the movie's older than you. So let me ask you this question. Do you think Die Hard is a Christmas movie, Chase Claypool? Yes or no?
Oh, I've seen this debate somewhere. No, I don't think it's Christmas.
Chase, come on, bro.
Chase
come
Claypool.
Come on, bro. No.
Be quiet. I'm the host of this show. Chase Claypool is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
I have him in fantasy.
It's not a Christmas movie, right? What would you say is a Christmas movie then, Chase?
I would say like that little snowman movie.
Yeah. Movie about a snowman.
And then
Frosty?
Elf. That's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, Elf is a Christmas movie. It's about an elf, right?
When I think of Christmas, I think of happy times. I don't think of people dying.
That's right. You don't think of
Chase.
No, but it's a terrorist, Chris. No, there's no terrorism.
You rid the world of terror.
Oh, my God. Chase, you're a smart young man. You keep balling out the way that you do. I really appreciate that, for sure.
Appreciate it.
Well done. So, let's get to the football aspect of this thing. Did something click this past week that hadn't in the first 4 weeks, do you think, offensively for your team?
I don't know if it was something that just clicked. I just think everyone's starting to get better and understand scheme more and executing better. So I think the running game opened a lot of things up offensively.
Yeah, so how different is the scheme this year? What can you walk me through that a fan might relate to on that front, the difference?
For the receivers, our scheme's not too different. I think it's more different for the linemen, so I can't really speak too much on that. But I think the linemen, they improved against Green Bay, the run defense, or the run offense has improved, and then it carried over to Denver. So I think the line scheme has just – they've been executing better.
So the line scheme has changed up, the manner in which the blocking scheme – is brought to bear offensively is pretty much a difference from last year to this year, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so that's going to take some time, as you might imagine. So what do you think clicked for your running back, Najee Harris? What do you see in him?
I think, I think it's just like every rookie in the league. You know, the longer you play, the better you get and the easier – you know, things are, the game slows down, you see things more clear. So, you know, the more we run these plays, the more he has trust on the where to go, and I think that's what he's been doing lately.
And how about you? How have things been different for you year one, year two? You sound like one of those grizzled veterans right there, Chase, when you're talking about being in this league long enough. So what about you that's a little bit different or you're better at this time around?
Yeah, I think just like seeing coverages even if they're disguised, knowing who's about to cover you, knowing how they're about to cover you, just like the little nuances of, you know, matchups. I think that's what's been improved the most for my game.
Okay, and how does that affect your ability to, you know, feel confident going into a game?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you know what to expect, then it takes all the stress out of the game, and you can just go play freely. So the preparation and stuff is a big part of just going out there and playing free.
Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers here on the Rich Eisen Show, fresh off of his first triple-digit receiving yard performance of the year. Let's talk about 7-11. How's Big Ben doing? There's a lot of talk about whether he should have returned this year. I'm wondering what he hears and what you guys talk about.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, last game he played really good. And I even think he played pretty well against Green Bay. You know, it's tough sometimes. You're not going to have a good game every game, just like I'm not going to have a good game every game. You know, people are pretty quick to jump to conclusions about his health or whether or not he should return. But I think it was, you know, I was super happy that he came back, and I still am. So
what is your relationship with him? How much do you talk ball with him? Can you walk me through like a regular day that you have with your future Hall of Fame quarterback, Chase Claypool?
Yeah, I mean, he'll always make a point to pull us aside in the locker room and talk to us about anything that's going to happen in practice, anything that just got, like, installed. He'll be like, this is what you need to expect. And then, so that happens basically on a daily basis. I'm right next to his locker, so sometimes we'll talk about little things like what TV shows we're watching and stuff like that. But it's mostly football and, yeah.
What TV show is he watching? What TV show do you share a TV show that you guys are watching?
I think we're trying to get him on Money Heist, that show.
Okay.
That's a free plug right there.
Okay,
welcome.
Very good.
And Squid Game.
Oh!
We're trying to get him on Squid Game.
Jeez. I got to tell you, Chase, my wife and I took in the first episode of Squid Game, and we're like, what the hell was that? You like it? You like that?
That's a great show, yes.
What do you like about it?
That's like calling that movie a kid's movie because they play kid's games, just like Die Hard.
Yes, Chase Claypool. It is just because they're playing children's games like Red Light, Green Light does not mean it's a kid's movie. It's just about kids' games. Yes.
So true.
Correct. Yes, Chase, you're just giving me ammunition, kind of like the Squid Game. But, yeah, I just couldn't handle it. So Ben's not watching the Squid Game, right? Is what you're saying?
I got to follow up on that. I think he might have, but I think he was also finishing the show. I can't remember which show.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to go in for episode. So does it get better in episode two, or what? Is it just more of the same? Walk me through it, Chase.
No, it does. It's like a twist already in episode two, and then you know, there's all these little like Easter eggs or like hints about, you know, about the show that's like hidden in the show.
Okay,
that's super cool. Once you keep watching, you pick up on some things. So definitely gets better.
Okay. Is Tomlin watching the Squid Game? Did you talk to your coach about that?
He is. We got him to watch Squid Game, and he loved it.
Wow. Okay. What do you mean you got him? You just walk into his office, and you're like, you know, I know you're watching film under your grinding tape. I know that stuff. But, coach, you got to watch the Squid Game. You literally say that to Mike Tomlin. Is that what you're saying?
No, we were in the stretch line, and we were all talking about it. And then he's like, what are you guys talking about? And then we're like, Squid Game, you got to watch it. He's like, I don't know if I can watch that. And came back the next day and said he watched it and he liked it. So.
Well, I'm sure he put his kids to bed before he watched that. We can't have kids around for that one. We cannot. I mean, you just, right? I mean,
yeah.
You don't agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right. And in all seriousness, before I let you go, how is Juju Smith-Schuster? How's your comrade who is now done for the year? How's he?
He's good. His spirits are high. I was at his foundation event yesterday. So it's super cool that he still put that on even with his injury, and he went and spoke to all the guests and stuff like that. So You know, he's doing really well, and he's going to continue to be a leader for us.
I love that. So he honored his commitment despite having surgery Sunday. He had his event Monday in the community. He still did it. That happened.
Yeah. He invited us out. Invited my mom to come too, so that was cool. And we all enjoyed that.
So your folks live in Pittsburgh? Is that what's going on too?
No, my mom's just here for the game.
Oh, just here for the game. All right, Chase. I appreciate it. Okay. I'll give Squid Game another run. I'll give it another whirl, and I'll just think about you and that you told Tomlin to do it, and the rest of the Steelers are doing it. And so I guess you're 1-0 since Mike Tomlin started watching the Squid Game. Is that basically what you're saying to me right now?
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
Okay, green light, right?
Yeah, green light.
All right, take care, Chase. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You be well.
All right, appreciate it.
That's Chase Claypool, everybody. 23 years old in the NFL. They're on the stretch line talking about the Squid Game. Hey, what are you guys talking about? Coach, it's Squid Game. Not for the squeamish. Not for the faint of heart.
Tweeting that out right now.
Dude, that is... Have you seen it?
No.
Dude.
Not for me. I'm going to... That's a hard pass for me. I'm going to play the don't come line.
Dystopian.
Nope.
Don't pass? You're
don't pass. I'm playing the don't pass.
You're playing the pass line. You're passing on it.
I'm passing on it.
Put on the pass line.
Nope, not for me.
And he's putting odds behind it.
Yeah, nope, not doing it.
Okay. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. I think I see who's calling in right now, and you guys are going to really enjoy it, and so will the rest of the fans.
Oh.
Because somebody was there when I had Dip flying my eyes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Murph is back.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O. O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mentioned right here as we're back here on the show. Seahawks Steelers Sunday, 7 Eastern Time. DK Metcalf, Chase Claypool just hung up from him. And, of course, Big Ben on NBC Sunday Night Football. All righty then. Dylan in Denver. I've got about a minute for you. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. Just wanted to tell you a little chewing tobacco story of my own.
Okay.
So, set the stage here. It's 2010, Cherry Creek High School, home of Dave Logan. Go Bruins. Getting picked up by the girl I have a huge crush on.
Mm-hmm.
And now me and six other of my friends are getting picked up by this girl. We're going to go to a parking garage to do a little marijuana usage.
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, where's this going?
Anyways, throwing a dip. One of my friends hands me one. He goes, put one of these in. You have a good time. Did not have a good time. Ended up sitting in the trunk of the car because there weren't enough seats. But I've got to go hang out with this girl in this parking garage and get stoned and go see Avatar, the movie.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Anyways, friend of me is sitting on top of me in the trunk, and he proceeds to begin dry heaving from his chewing tobacco.
Oh, my God.
Which then causes a chain reaction from me.
Ladies and gentlemen. Dylan in Denver, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dylan in Denver. To play us out, here's Sting. We'll do it live.
Yikes.
Oh, God. No good. Well, look, I attempted, in case you're just joining, I talked about how, because Rafael Devers has a big chaw in his mouth. My fraternity brothers, big. Ann Arbor, Michigan, proud to be like 1987, 88. They're like, you try it. I'm like, never. I've never tried it my entire life. They finally convinced me to do it. I packed the tin. It flew up in the air, and some of it went in my eye. Not between my cheek and gum, in between my eyeball and eyelid.
Smooth.
And joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show, I believe calling in on the guest line, is someone who was there, University of Michigan graduate finest, Donald Martin Bonds of the great state of Ohio. How are you, Don?
Rich, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you want to tell your recollection of that day, Don, to my friends who are very excited to hear this?
Well sure. I think it was, first of all, I have a couple of very strong opinions about this. It was very obvious from the way you were holding the can that this wasn't going to go well. you're supposed to kind of encircle it, and you were just kind of pinching the lid.
Yes.
And I just knew that the lid was going to fly off when you started smacking it up and down. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. The other thing I'll say is that is, of all the things that happened, that is probably the best possible outcome.
Because I would have choked on it if I'd actually applied it into my my gourd.
If you had put some between your cheek and gum, I have no doubt that you would have swallowed some. Ugh. You would have swallowed a lot of saliva, and you would have been as sick as a dog. There's no question about it.
As opposed to being temporarily blind. Is what you're saying.
Exactly.
You know, because part of the story I was telling Don is that I needed some medical assistance, and you and the other people who were witnessing this were of no use because you were too busy hysterical laughing, rolling on the ground. That happened. Do you remember that, Don? Do you remember that?
That's accurate, but the same thing happened when Kreese swallowed a whole cup full of cigarette butts.
That's right, like Spalding. He did it like Spalding. It was like Spalding in Caddyshack.
That's exactly what it was. He just threw up in the backyard for 25 minutes.
By the way, Don is the guy, one of the, there's two people in my life who, during Michigan Wolverine football games, where we live and die and basically say, this is not happening tonight, this is not happening. And then at the very end, over six times this past year, we're like, yes, it's happening. It's happening, right, Don? This is happening.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Hopefully we can keep it going.
Well, let's hope so, man.
But me and Rich are both JJ guys, so.
Right now, I think it's inevitable. I think that kid's going to get in there. I think he's going to play half the Ohio State game at the very least, Don. What do you think?
I think he's going to need to if we want to win it.
There we go. Don Bonds, everybody.
Hey, Rich.
He's holding down the fort.
Yeah. Can I start a question?
Yeah.
Hey, Don, what's up?
What's happening?
Hey, tell us, man. What was Rich like?
Oh, we're out of time.
Wait a second.
No.
It's not even quite that. The question is like,
we're out of time.
I like to... people's history, like, we're riches today. Did you see this path coming from when you guys were in college? Was he like on the route, on the path to doing what he's doing right now?
He kind of was. He used to do stand-up comedy and read Penthouse Forum like Howard Cosell.
And that was on demand by the fraternity brothers.
Just reading the letters in voice?
On demand. Yeah. I'd just be getting ready to go to school, go to class, and like Don and half of them are like, do a show right now. I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
He used to do Sinatra karaoke. He was...
I still do.
He still does that.
Yeah.
He still does that.
All right, Don, take care, brother. You take care.
Thanks, guys.
I'll text you Saturday. We'll see you Saturday. There you go. He was there.
I just like to know people's origins and stories like you do with your thing.
I appreciate that. I never knew that he saw that I was going to screw it up with the tin, and they didn't say anything.
Yeah, because you got to hold it.
They wanted to see you fail.
He said it was the best possible outcome.
It's like a certain way.
You know.
Yeah, be glad that didn't hit your mouth, Rich.
By the way, great call screening by Adam back there. Yeah, Dylan wants to tell a story about him getting high and throwing up in the trunk of a car. No, it just said... bad tobacco story on it. Good job, Adam. Oh, he's too busy watching the White Sox. He's not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell?
White Sox 1-0.
All right.
1-0.
We will see the rest of you on Wednesday's show back on Peacock in a moment.